Good morning, Central Jersey, and welcome to Navigating Medicare with Mario Vargas. Through this weekly radio show, my goal is to provide you with a forum or a place that you can rely on getting information to make the complex world of Medicare clear and easy to understand, and more important, to navigate. Regardless if you're already on Medicare, turning 65 and going to Medicare, or you decided to work beyond 65, and now consider leaving an employer or union plan or going on Medicare, or have been on disability for 24 months and going to Medicare, or even if you don't fall under any of these categories, but you know a family member, coworker, neighbor, or friend that is impacted by Medicare, you need to stay tuned. This becomes more important now in the age of the coronavirus, as so many things in our lives are constantly changing. And as you hear me say week after week, right? As the cliche goes, right, the only constant nowadays is change. Nevertheless, over 10,000 individuals are turning 65 every day, and now more than ever really need to have the right information to make their health coverage decision. For those that are already on Medicare, these times are filled with anxiety, fear, frustration, uncertainty, and everything else that you can think of under the sun right now. Well, I am here for each and every one of you. My name is Mario Vargas, an independent insurance broker specializing in senior insurance solutions. What that means is that I represent the major insurance carriers in the state of New Jersey and other states that offer Medicare supplement plans, Medicare Advantage plans, prescription drug plans, life insurance, final expense policies, and cancer and heart attack or strokes, and dental and vision. I also provide insurance for auto and home. And after years of assisting individuals at their homes, conducting a free, no-obligation consultation where I assess their situation and provide information on choosing the plans that fit their needs and making hundreds of presentations at senior buildings, churches, community events to this day, over and over, I continue to hear how confusing and at times how frustrating this all can be. And folks, yeah, I know I say this, those of you that are have been listening since the beginning or have joined, it is so true. Even as early as last week, right? The latest, right? Is that I have helped a couple of individuals and they say like, wow, we know stuff, we researched it, right? But I still need your guidance. And to show me how confusing, they tell me about the tons of mail they receive starting months before turning 65, and even more after turning 65. And let's not forget the repeated, non-stop phone calls that are simply annoying. This serves as the basis for why I created my company called Senior Health Navigators, with the main purpose implied in the name, to help seniors navigate through what can be a maze of information. And now with the coronavirus, anxiety, fear, frustration, uncertainty, right? Because we just don't know. We don't know, right? And that's why I continue to stay on the air week after week. And why you should tune in each week, all right? To this day, I have helped thousands of individuals through a free, no-obligation consultation. And at the completion of these sessions, everyone tells me the same thing. That is extremely helpful, and that more people will benefit from the information that I have to share. In fact, that's one of my biggest source right now is referrals. People that say, hey, Mario helped me, and here he can help you to figure things out. So I listen to their suggestions and look for additional ways to get this information to you. And that's where I always mention Sister Jeannie, one of my current members who sparked the idea and inspiration to this radio show on what then was WCTC 1450 AM and now FoxSportsNewJersey.com. Or you can also listen to us on 93.5 FM as well. You are listening to Navigating Medicare with Mario Vargas. You can listen to the podcast of the show on FoxSportsNewJersey.com. Or you can visit my website at SeniorHealthNavigatorsLLC.com. If you need to contact me or have questions, you can call my office at 1-800-864-8414. That's 1-800-864-8414. Or you can email me at mvargasagency@gmail.com. every week now into year three, folks. Yes, we are. After today, I will say three more shows, and that will actually have completed the my third year on the air. Yes, folks. Go figure, right? Who would have thought? 3 years, 3 whole years on the air. Yes. And where I provide you with information I deem of interest to you. And the way I do that is I keep an eye on the news, the major papers, also on limited social media, because I'm not really on social media, but limited social media. And also as I visit members, right? And I see what's happening to them. And then my referrals, when people call me with questions, I put all those things together and I look at what the trends are. I see what the interests are. And based on that is where I come up and bring these topics to you. But please, the whole reason for me being on the air is because this is your show. And I welcome your questions and suggestions. And you can send them by visiting my website at seniorhealthnavigatorsllc.com. That is seniorhealthnavigatorsllc.com. Or you can email me at mvargasagency@gmail.com. That's mvargasagency@gmail.com. You can always call as well, 1-800-864-8414. That's 1-800-864-8414. The point here is that you reach out to me in whichever method works best for you. Once again, hello, New Jersey. You're listening to Navigating Medicare with Mario Vargas. In the world of Medicare, the Medicare Advantage open enrollment period has ended last week, as I mentioned. Next up is the annual enrollment period, which is 191 days away. You may say, wow, that's a long time off. But folks, time flies. Time goes by rather quickly. Today, I want to discuss, right, that. And I started to mention this to you in the previous shows, but that one in 10 adults has a medical debt. You know, one in every American adult, one in every adult has a medical debt, in which millions, or thousands rather, have it in the tens of thousands. So I want to talk about that. Also, I want to update you on some Medicare news updates that of previous topics that I covered in the past. So I want to update you on some of that, like the whole thing with the Autobahn, the Alzheimer drug that when it was approved by the FDA, it was rather hastily approved, where a panel of experts resigned because the medication was approved, because it's not really that effective. And I know people are hopeful, but it's still not effective. And in fact, that this drug coming into the market is what drove a lot of the Medicare premiums, like the Part B premiums, because Medicare needed to anticipate paying for this medication. Now, it's at the point that it's getting, actually on Monday, they're making a decision, because Medicare announced that they are going to only cover individuals that are in random clinical trials. But the association and the manufacturer of this drug, they want anybody that has mild symptoms of Alzheimer's to be treated. And I don't agree with that, but we're going to talk about that. All right. The other thing is that I want to have a conversation on how do we update? How does America, US, update the shots to counter any future variants? Yeah, because there's going to be other variants. And how do you update the actual shot? Not the booster, because remember, the booster is mainly a stopgate. So how do you update the actual shot? Okay. And I know recently, this past week, or last week, the fourth booster was approved for individuals 50 or older. But we can't just keep relying on booster after booster. So we're going to talk about that today. Also, time permitted. I'll share a couple of stories how to enroll in Medicare as well. But first, let me say hello to Susan and Steve in Monroe Township, Leslie and Clifford in Pennington, Brian in South River, Ramona in Perth Amboy, David in Toms River, Janelle in Edgewater, Goldie in Ocean, Gloria and Mariano in Trenton. Hello. Luis in Violet, Sharon in Trenton, Roberta in South Plainfield, and Deborah in Mooresville. Birthdays today. Cleo. Hey, Cleo, happy birthday, man. Hope you're listening, but if you're not, still happy birthday, Cleo. Enjoy, man. You're 84th, right, I believe, over in Edison. And then Lewis in Medford has a birthday, too. Monday, Dorothy in North Brunswick. Happy birthday, Dorothy. And Marsha in Millstown. Susan in Butler. And then on Tuesday, Joyce in Patterson. Joyce, happy birthday, Joyce, to you. And Thursday, Jean in Monroe has a birthday. And then next Friday, rounding out the week, Hector in Old Bridge has a birthday as well. And it gives my honor, it's my honor, right, to welcome Marlene in Somerset as one of my new members. And Marlene actually attended one of my workshops back in November during the annual enrollment period. And she said, you know what? I'm not retiring yet, but I want to get information ahead of time. She was pre-planning. And sure enough, she called, her and her friend called me. And I've been guiding her process through transitioning from employer, right? She's retiring, to just going on Medicare. And that has been interesting. And there has been a couple of learnings along the way, which I will share with you in my section of how has the coronavirus impacted your life. So, yeah. Another jam-packed show, folks, so you stay tuned. Do not touch that dial. So we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. Let's continue. Welcome back. You're listening to Navigating Medicare with Mario Varigas. You can reach me at 1-800-864-8414. That's 1-800-864-8414. Or you can email me at mvargasagency@gmail.com. That's mvargasagency@gmail.com. So folks, I know that we want to move ahead. We want to move on from the coronavirus, right? We want to move on from Omicron, stealth Omicron. We want to move on, right? But it hasn't moved on from us, okay? So the numbers, although I have to say overall, the numbers are trending down. And my promise to you has been that I keep reporting the numbers until eventually we get to zero or really, really little. And we're almost getting there, folks. However, having said that, that's what's happening here now. Having said that, I've looked at the news, and right now China just is shutting a section down because they're getting a resurging. They're getting a surge. And in the past, we've gone through quite a number of these where when they start surging in China, it can also start surging in UK, Britain, and then guess what? It moves over here. I'm hoping not. I'm hoping not because these numbers are trending down. For example, as of today, in the entire world, 495,269,881 individuals have been infected. This is 1.4%, which is down from the 2.6 last week. Again, trending down. In terms of individuals who have passed away, we're looking at 6,167,708 individuals. That is 0.37, down from 0.63. Again, trending down. In the U.S., we're looking at 80,251,517, which is 0.8%, again, down from 0.32, trending down. In terms of those who have passed away, 983,869 individuals who have passed away throughout this pandemic, which is 0.33%, down from 0.59, again, trending down. When we look at New Jersey, it's 2,208,118, 0.37 compared to 0.41 from last week. In terms of how many have passed away in New Jersey? It's 33,278, 0.14 compared to 0.12. This is the only number that's slightly up, but again, we're looking at insignificant, statistically insignificant differences, right? But the trend out of all these numbers that I share is the only one that is slightly up, but not really that big. The point is, trends are down. But this does not account for any surge that may be coming our way based on what's happening out in China and usually moves out to Southeast Asia and then to Britain and then onto us. Folks, how has the coronavirus impacted your life? I want to know. Tell me, email me, mvargasagency@gmail.com. That's mvargasagency@gmail.com. Or you can call me 1-800-864-4414. That's 1-800-864-8414. So the impact of the coronavirus is happening in a lot of different venues. One of them is the Social Security Administration, which manages the people's enrollment into Medicare Part A and Part B. And this last couple of months, I've been guiding quite a number of individuals into the process, enrolling from the moment of in signing in online, creating their account on ssa.gov to triggering Part A and Part B. And so along the way, there has been some learning. Marlene, as I mentioned, attended one of my workshops back in November at the Somerset Diner. And at that time, she wasn't ready to retire, but her and her friend did say, hey, when we reach that age, when we reach that moment in time, we're going to call you. And they did. And I'm working with them. And Marlene, her entire process took 7.5 weeks. I'm sharing this because it really depends on each individual situation. So, Marlene, we spoke, she submitted her application. 6 weeks in, they finally requested for the employer document to be submitted. That's where the employer says, hey, you had coverage, credible coverage, onto this date. And then that's when the Medicare comes into effect, the first day after that last month. We did that. And then after that, it took 1.5 weeks for her to actually receive her card. But I also have to credit Marlene because she was very diligent and persistent in calling, constantly calling, making sure that the right people had the files. Because at one point that she had submitted the file, but the person that was assigned did not have the file, so she had a call to make sure that it was refaxed to the right person. So all these things happened to her case. And but at the end of the day, it got processed, and we submitted knowing, well, I knew that it was going to take time. Because it, she's in time for an a May 1st effective date. But we started this way back, okay? Also, I was helping another individual. I'm also helping her friend too. Right now, we're still in the process. We just actually we're about to start the process in about a week because she retires further down in later on in the middle of the year. But I also was helping Barbara. And Barbara came to me through her late husband. Her late hu husband was Steve, and some of you that have been listening to the show for a long time may remember him back in the day before the pandemic when I actually had guests. I actually had people call in. I actually had people in the studio. Yeah, those were the days, right? So Steve was one of those individuals who came and he did an amazing show because he also used to be in radio and he loved doing radio as well. Unfortunately, Steve, and I mentioned I spoke to about him not too long ago. He passed away back in November, actually, of last. Actually, he passed away in December of last year. How time flies! And before passing away, he had always mentioned to me that, "Hey, Mario, my wife, much is younger than I am, but once she turns 65, I want you to help her and guide her through this process." And once she was ready, she contacted me. We sat down and I walked her through it. Now, in her case, it was a very different experience from the perspective that it went rather smoothly and rather quickly. From the, I mean, we met on in February, She applied like that end of the first week of February, and I have to tell you, by 2 weeks ago, she had her car in her hands, and I enrolled her in the supplement and the prescription plan that she needs. So in her case, it was something that went rather fast compared to Marlene's case. What I've learned, folks, is that it really depends on the individual that picks up your application. I also always encourage individuals to apply with ample time. For example, if you're already on Medicare, but you're still working and you have credible coverage through your employer, but you want to retire, I always say pick the day that you retire and then back your way in. You back your way in. For those that are turning 65, you always have the initial enrollment period, which is a 7 month window. That is the 3 months before the month of your birthday, the month of, and also 3 months after to get into Medicare, enroll in Medicare. I always go with the first 3 months, okay? Because it's just things are delayed, things can take time, and this way you're ready. But again, everyone's situation is different. That is why if you are in that process and you need help, all you need to do is call me 1-800-864-8414. That's 1-800-864-8414. So that is how the Social Security Administration office is impacted because they're back, and also it depends on who you get at the end of that phone. Folks, COVID testing. COVID testing at one point at the height of this pandemic was one of the most sought-after thing that you can try and get. And I cover that in number of shows. I mean, my own personal experience is trying to find an appointment for my parents, and then after that for me, actually, COVID testing and shots. The shots was more coveted than COVID testing, but COVID testing nonetheless was challenging. But now you can get tests almost anywhere, right? But why am I talking about this? Well, at the beginning of the year, right, in January, right, the current administration required private insurers to offer 8 free at-home tests per member per month. And it said it would, and at that point, it did not include Medicare individuals, and I talked about that. Folks, man, I have talked about a lot of things here. Wow, I'm realizing that, right? 3 years later, I'm still talking about a lot of good stuff, right? Nonetheless, initially, this order did not include Medicare, but they added Medicare. But the free test didn't start arriving until this past Monday, all right? So experts have said that testing is crucial for monitoring the trajectory of the coronavirus and ensures that people can isolate or get treatment earlier. Okay. And this was the first time that Medicare was offering free over-the-counter tests. And a box of two tests usually costs about $20. Medicare enrollees can pick up their tests at pharmacies at these stores. Costco, CVS, Rite Aid, Stop and Shop, Walgreens, and Walmart. In addition, right, to the free tests from Medicare, enrollees can still order 4 at-home tests at no cost through covidtest.gov. Each household can place up to 2 orders. So, yes, so you can get your tests. But anyways, as I read this, right, and as I share this with you guys, I just thought of the day when this was really tough getting these, scheduling a test and getting it done. And now, essentially, they're readily available. And let's not forget masks, too. And I'll talk a little bit about the mask once we come back from this break. So stay tuned, don't go away. Welcome back. You're listening to Navigating Medicare with Mario Vargas. You can reach me at 1-800-864-8414. That's 1-800-864-8414. Or you can always email me at mvargasagency@gmail.com. That's mvargasagency@gmail.com. at gmail.com. So yes, so I was saying that, testing was challenging, getting a shot was challenging. Also trying to get a mask, right? A mask at one point became scarce. So now remember that the CVSs and Walgreens still have masks available, right? For individuals, you get three per individual. And the interesting thing of this is because, I do, I go to CVS, right? And I answer questions there for 2 to 3 hours. And I've noticed that there's a lot of masks available. So I was asking one of the employees there, I say, hey, are you running out of masks? And she was telling me, Mario, no, we got tons of masks. Hardly no one is coming in to get them anymore. Now, while I've been there a number of times, I did witness myself, not as many, but a few people coming in to get their mask. But it's just interesting on how timing-wise, how things shift dramatically, because at one point you could not find a mask, and now you can give them away, as the expression goes. So just an observation. But if you do want an N95 mask and you have not gotten yours, you can go to a local CVS or Walgreens, and they will give you those for free. Okay, three, I believe, three per individual. Okay, and this is the administration's effort to make sure that people that want to wear a mask have the ability to wear a mask. Same thing with these home testing that now Medicare eligible individuals. So if you're on Medicare Part A and Part B, you can go to CVS, Rite Aid, Stop and Shop, Walgreens, and Walmart and get your eight. You can get up to eight a month. Okay, also, if you're at a Medicare Advantage, you also are able to do that as well. If you have any questions regarding this, reach out to me, 1-800-864-8414. That's 1-800-864-8414. So, yes. So I've been trying to get to this, and that is that one in 10 adults owe medical debt. With millions, actually, I need to stand corrected because I said thousands, but with millions owing more than $10,000. So, in a Kaiser Family Foundation analysis that I found of government data, estimates that one in 10 adults, which represents about 9%, or roughly 23 billion people, owe medical debt. This includes 11 million who owe more than $2,000 and 3 million people who owe more than $10,000. The analysis is based on data from 2020 Survey of Income and Program Participation, a nationally representative survey that asked every adult in the household whether they owed money for medical bills in 2019 and how much they owed. It looks at people with medical debt of more than $250. So there's a lot more people. Just that alone tells me that there's people that owe under 250. And by the way, believe it or not, even for under 250, right? If you haven't paid that debt, man, they'll send you to a collection agency. These medical providers don't play. They will try and get their money. Or get you into affect your credit. So it's very important to stay on top of that. All right. Now, the 2020 survey suggests that Americans' collective medical debt totaled at least $195 billion. That's billions, not million. $195 billion in 2019. So we can only imagine, right? I can only guess what that is going to be if, when they do the study analysis for 2020 and 2021 in the full-blown pandemic, right? This is pre-pandemic, and in my opinion, it's rough enough. All right. Though quite a bit of the uncertainty. So a small share of the adults account for a huge share of the total with considerable variation from year to year. The estimate is significantly higher than other commonly cited estimates, which generally rely on data from credit reports but may not capture medical debts charged to credit cards or included in other debts rather than being directly owed to provider. So here are some other findings by this study. So people ages 35 to 49, which roughly 11% of the population of this study, and those that are 50 to 64, roughly 12%, are more likely than other adults to report medical debt. So combined, you have about, well, not about, 23% of those that are more likely to report a medical debt. They have greater health needs than younger people, and on average, aren't yet old enough to qualify for Medicare coverage, which may protect them from the high cost. And yes, folks, Medicare will protect from high cost, you know, if, depending on what you have. If you're in a Medicare Advantage plan, you still protect from high cost, but you have a maximum out of pocket. Larger shares of people in poor health, 21%, and living with a disability, roughly 15%, report medical debt. People in these groups are more likely to need and receive care than people in better health and without disabilities. So when we look at among racial and ethnic groups, right, a large share of Black adults, roughly 16%, report having medical debt compared to 9% white adults, Hispanics 9%, and Asian American adults at 4%. And then adults who were uninsured for more than half of the year are more likely to report medical debt, about 13%, than those who were insured for all or most of the year, which is 9%. So it's not clear how the pandemic, like I was starting to say, how the pandemic and resulting recessions, right, affect the medical debt. We can only imagine that the numbers will be higher. So many people, because many people lost their jobs and income early in the pandemic, which could have led to more difficulty affording medical care. At the same time, though, many people delayed or went without care, so fewer people may have been exposed to costly medical care. Okay, it follows, right? And that there's a shifts in insurance coverage and COVID-related cost-sharing waivers could also affect what people had to pay out of pocket, because early on, some insurers were not requiring the co-pays that the plans have in place, and that lasted for quite a bit of time. So that may kind of, you know, not reflect the amount of people that people there are less people in debt, probably. That's what I can kind of translate. Now, in this study, they were looking at other challenges related to the health cost. So two other challenges is that it finds that many households do not have enough money, and this is a sad one, have enough money available to cover the cost of a typical deductible in a private health plan. For example, about a third, 33, 32% of single-person households with private insurance in 2019 could not pay a $2,000 bill. And half, 51%, could not pay at least $6,000 bill. And the folks, when we I've seen studies on the reality that if you just remove this away from medical debt only, but that most American, the majority of Americans, do not have enough savings to cover a $500 emergency, regardless if it's medical or whatever, just an emergency. Half of the adults in this country do not have enough money, 500 bucks, to cover an emergency for 500 bucks. To me, that, you know, I don't want to get into this, whatever it is, but I just want to say that is sad. It saddens me because we are the wealthiest country in the world. We have the largest economy. We have like the, when you look at Forbes magazine, we got the most billionaires produced in the world. They reside here. But yet, the majority of Americans, out of 338 million people, half of that, do the math, could not afford a $500 emergency. That is sad. All right. The second thing that this thing finds is that the lower income families, right, less than twice the federal poverty level, who have employer health coverage, spend a tenth of their income on health coverage on average, including both their share of the premium and their out-of-pocket costs. And so there you have it, folks, okay? So when they update these analysis, I want to say that obviously these numbers are probably going to be higher, but due to the fact that a lot of people were delaying getting medical coverage, right? May not, well, we don't. It'll be curious to see what the numbers bear out. All right. So I want to get into this conversation. Okay. How do we update COVID-19 vaccine to counter variants? And that's what the US experts are still grappling to find answers, right? I think the whole world is grappling with this. How do we find that? Okay. So this past week, I know. I apologize. I sound a little stuffy because I feel a lot better, by the way. I feel a lot better because I know I was feeling crappy last week, but I feel a lot better, but I'm still nasally, very nasally. And as time goes, right, as I've been talking, right, I sound more like, oh, but so I apologize for that. Anyway, back to this. Now, we are now more than 2 years, right? More than 2 years into this COVID-19 pandemic. And we just got to figure things out. But we're going to take a quick break and we'll come back. I'll continue with this conversation. You're listening to Navigating Medicare with Mario Vargas. You can reach me at 1-800-864-8414. That's 1-800-864-8414. Or you can email me at mvargasagency@gmail.com. That's mvargasagency@gmail.com. So yes, folks, more than 2 years into the COVID-19 pandemic. And now the U.S. health officials are beginning to grapple with how to keep the vaccines updated to best protect Americans from the ever-changing coronavirus. So this past Wednesday, there was a panel of vaccine advisors to the Food and Drug Administration, and they spend hours debating, questioning, and they're debating key questions for revamping the shots and conducting future booster campaigns. And guess what? They didn't reach any firm conclusion, which not fair to criticize them, right? I think a lot of things are in that state where it's hard to reach conclusions with this pandemic and this variants. But the questions facing the experts, okay, included how often to update the vaccines against new strains. Fair enough. Also, how effective they should be to warrant approval, and whether updates should be coordinated with the global health authorities. So last week, some of you already saw this, that the FDA authorized a fourth dose of the Pfizer or Moderna vaccines for anyone 50 or older. I'm actually eligible for that. And for those younger people with severely weakened immune system. It's an effort to get ahead of another possible surge. And this surge, folks, could be on the horizon as we see China is shutting things down, right? And what we've seen in the past 6, 7, 8, 9 months is that when a surge happens there, it often moves over to the UK. And then from there, it moves over to California, into the US. That's what I've noticed, right? So it's possible, even though I share those decreasing trends in the numbers in terms of infection, in terms of those that have passed away, there is a surge looming. But anyway, back to these panels. So the FDA, their chief, acknowledged that they simply can't be boosting people as frequently as they have. The latest booster is simply a stopgap measure to protect vulnerable Americans while regulators decide whether and how to tweak the current vaccines. They caution that waning vaccine protection, right? New variants and colder weather in the fall could raise the risk of more surges. Their goal, they said, is to stay ahead of the future variants and outbreaks and ensure that they do their best to reduce the toll of disease or death due to COVID-19. And so that they're going to have a lot of more meetings, right? More meetings in the coming months. But here are some of the key questions that they are discussing. The question facing the expert is how often to update vaccine against a new strain. Okay. The key questions discussed, right, is how should the US decide when to launch future rounds of booster shots? That's fair enough, right? So, one area where experts appear to agree is that vaccines should be judged on their ability to prevent severe disease that leads to hospitalizations and death. They say that they need to focus on the worst case, right, which is severe disease, and they need to change strains when they're losing that battle. So by that measure, the current vaccines have held up remarkably well, according to these experts. During the last Omicron-driven surge, two vaccine doses were nearly 80% effective against needing a breathing machine or dying. And a booster pushed that protection to 94%, according to the scientists. But only about half of Americans eligible for a third shot have gotten one. And many experts say that it was unsustainable to continue asking Americans to get boosted every few months. Yeah, because psychologically people are just going to be tired of it. I mean, it was tough enough the first time getting people vaccinated. So, yeah. So this panel, right, suggested that the 80% protection from severe disease could become the standard for evaluating the vaccines. So what that means is that moving forward, if a vaccine has an 80% effective rate, then that is deemed successful. That's what I'm interpreting that to mean. So they think they may have to accept the level of protection and then use other alternative ways to protect individuals with therapeutics and other measures. So the panel at the meeting, right? They underscore the challenges of predicting when the next major COVID variant might appear. And that's the biggest thing. Like, okay, we're doing all this thing, but when is this thing going to happen? And how can we anticipate that? So a disease modeler said that a major new strain like the Omicron could emerge anywhere from every 1.5 years to once a decade. So based on currently available data, that's what this guy is saying. So given that unpredictability, right, researchers will need methods to quickly determine whether current vaccines work against emerging variants. And that's the whole thing. That's why panels and discussions are taking place. How do you anticipate? How do you get ready? And when does it happen? It could be anywhere from 1.5 years to a decade. We don't know. The other thing that they were dealing with is what's the process for updating vaccines to address new variants? So, what is the process? Now, all the three COVID-19 vaccines now used in the US are based on the original coronavirus version that emerged in late 2019. So, updating the vaccines will be a complex task, likely requiring coordination between the FDA, manufacturers, and global health authorities. To speed the vaccines to market, the FDA relied on research shortcuts to judge effectiveness, mainly looking at their early impact on the immune system's antibody levels. a number of panelists said Wednesday that they wanted more rigorous data from studies that track patients over time to see who gets sick or dies. But that approach will likely be too time-consuming. So they were saying that they're looking at basically a conundrum, right? There's a conundrum here in that it's going to be hard to generate all the data that they want in short order when a new variant emerges to make a better decision, right? So that's a conundrum. Now, a representative for the U.S. Biomedical Advanced Research and Development Authority laid out the narrow window that manufacturers could face to reformulate, study, and mass produce an updated vaccine by September. And September, obviously, because, fall, the fall season is beginning. Now, if you're not on your way to a clinical trial by the beginning of May, according to these guys, it's going to be very difficult to have enough product across manufacturers to meet demand. And the process for updating, so the only thing they have available right now is the process for updating the annual flu vaccines that offers a possible model. Twice a year, according to what the process is, the World Health Organization experts recommend updates to flu vaccines to target emerging strains. The FDA then brings those recommendations to its own vaccine panel, which votes on whether they make sense for the U.S., setting the stage for manufacturers to tweak their shots and begin mass production. But COVID-19 hasn't yet fallen into a predictable pattern like the flu. That's another thing. And as the coronavirus evolves, right, different strains may become dominant in different regions of the world. And several experts say that they would need more meetings with more data and proposal to decide on a strategy. One of them said, and was quoted, "We've never been here before. We're all working together to do the best we can, and it's very complex, essentially." And that's, there you have it, folks. That's a dilemma. That's a conundrum. That's a problem. That's whatever you want to, because we're trying to anticipate the next variant, and we and have reaction to that, be ready for it. And it's tough. All right. The last thing I want to talk real quick is that there's a campaign to get Medicare coverage for a new Alzheimer's drug, right? That sounds like it's a good idea. I don't think so, though. Okay, this drug was fast approved. There's not enough data and evidence on whether it works or not. It's very expensive. Okay. Yeah, so they're pushing for it. Medicare is saying, hey, we're going to cover people in clinical trials, but not everybody. The manufacturer, Biogen, wants that anybody with mild cases be covered on the Medicare. If that's the case, it's going to be astronomical in cost because this is very expensive. So Medicare's final decision is due on Monday, and hopefully they hold stern and just provide it to those individuals that are already in a clinical trial, which means that they're really in need versus just mild. Why is that? Because the cost of this is borne by every 62 plus million Medicare eligible individuals through their premium. It's tough. It's a tough decision. All right. Medicare Advantage plans are getting an increase, 8.5% increase. Why am I sharing that with you? Because you're going to see a lot more commercial. Folks, time has run out. Tune in next week to Navigating Medicare with Mario Vargas.